The University of Georgia is located in Athens, Georgia. The mascot for the athletic teams is the Bulldog, Georgia Bulldogs. One of the characteristics that Bulldogs are known for is being tough. Bulldogs are tough. I'm sure all of us have heard different sayings about something being tough. That's as tough as leather. It's as tough as nails, which doesn't make sense to me. I think nails are hard, not tough, but I guess they're tough too. It's as tough as an old boot. And then there's the saying, he's as tough as a bulldog. I came upon a website for the Bulldog Car Wash in Athens, Georgia. Their slogan is, tougher than the toughest dirt. Bulldog Car Wash. If you do an internet search, I sound like I'm shifting gears here, but just give me a second. If you do an internet search for W.A. Criswell, you will find that he was an American pastor, author, and two-term elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention from 1968 to 1970. He was senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, for 5 decades. W.A. Criswell once told about a preacher who loved to hunt. He said the man bought 2 Irish setters that were top-notch bird dogs. He kept them in his backyard where he trained them. Some new neighbors had just moved in down the street, and one morning an ornery little vicious-looking bulldog came shuffling and snorting down the street. And he crawled under the fence into his backyard where the setters spent their days. He said it was easy to see that the little bulldog meant business. Man's first impulse was to send his setters in the basement through the little doggy door, but the bulldog was between the dogs and the door, so he decided to just let this little bulldog learn his lesson. The dogs got into a scuffle, and they went around and round, and when the little bulldog finally had enough, he squeezed under the fence and took back off down the alley. Man said that all the rest of that day he could hear the little bulldog whining and licking his wounds down the street. But the next morning, around the same time, that little bulldog came back, squeezed under the fence, tore into those 2 setters again, and once again the 2 dogs got the best of the fight. And the little bulldog scurried back home licking his wounds. Following day he was back again with the same results. Man had to leave to preach a revival meeting. He was gone for a few weeks, and when he came back, he asked his wife what had happened with the little bulldog. She said, "Honey, you just won't believe it. At the same time, every morning, that little bulldog came back to our yard, fought with our setters. He didn't miss a day. Finally, after about a week, when the setters heard that little bulldog snorting down the street, they started whining and ran through the doggy door into the basement. That little dog comes back every morning, and our dogs run into the basement for about 10 minutes. That little bulldog is out there strutting around in the backyard like he owns the place. Bulldogs are tough, but there are other terms that could be used to describe the character of a bulldog as well. Tenacious, dedicated, steadfast, committed, faithful. That little bulldog just would not give up. And I want to focus on the word faithful. To be faithful is to be loyal, constant, steadfast, dedicated, committed. God's faithfulness is spoken of numerous times throughout the Bible. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, we read that God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, Paul says, "The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." Christ is said to be faithful in Hebrews 3, verse 2. Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him, that is the Father, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Speaking of Christ in Revelation 19, verse 11, the text says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True." With justice, he judges and wages war. Christians are called on to be faithful. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown," or "I will give you the crown of life," some translations say. And in Galatians 5, verse 22, Paul tells us that faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. We admire people with tenacity. We admire people who remain faithful to a cause or faithful to a goal. But there are few, if any, endeavors in life where all the starters actually finish what they started. There aren't many things you can say about someone that's worse than saying you just can't depend on them for anything. The ability to be faithful in sticking to something we've started is crucial in order to be successful in anything in life. There are qualities we must have, and there are qualities we must nurture in order to remain faithful to the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about four of those this morning. For instance, in order to remain faithful, we must have faith in the unseen. This may sound mystical, like you're being asked to believe in something that does not exist. But having faith in the unseen is something everybody utilizes every day of life. For example, you've never seen gravity. But every time you've ever jumped or hopped, you have faith that you will not just go floating out into the atmosphere. Faith in the unseen is something that all successful people engage in regularly. They envision something that is not a current reality. They believe in it. They have faith in it that one day, due to their hard work, the unseen will be a reality. Notice how faith in the unseen is described in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8, beginning, we read that, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Verses 9 through 12, the writer mentions the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Sarah. Then he says in verse 13, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." Notice how Paul's motivation to press on, to remain faithful, was connected with what he saw in the future in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. "Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." When someone is working hard towards a goal, and then suddenly they just quit, they give up, often when someone asks them what happened, they say something like, "I just stopped believing in myself," or "I stopped believing in my dream." Unbelief, a lack of faith, is often the reason we fall short of our goals in the Lord. This was true for Israel, and it's also true for us. Speaking of Israel in the wilderness in Hebrews 3, verses 18 and 19, the writer asked, Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Their disobedience came about because of their unbelief. Their unbelief, their lack of faith, was the reason they did not remain faithful. In order to remain faithful, we must have faith in the unseen. And in order to remain faithful, we must have courage. There are always forces which try to prevent someone from accomplishing whatever goal they've set for themselves. Some people will try to sabotage your efforts to do better because they don't want you to change or because they're jealous or any number of reasons. It takes courage to be faithful. It takes courage to continue working at something, working towards something when friends and family sometimes try to hinder your progress. It can seem like the world is against you. Cowardliness is the result of failure to trust in God as it applies to religious and worldly matters and struggles. You remember back in Numbers chapter 13 when the 12 spies had been sent into the land of Canaan, they returned and 10 of them began to say that they would not be able to conquer the land. Then in Numbers 13 verses 30 through 33 we read, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes,' they said, 'and we looked the same to them.'" Out of fear, Israel ultimately believed the 10 spies, and they did not remain faithful to the Lord. Lack of faith, lack of courage was their downfall. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we're told that even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Again, fear, a lack of courage, caused these rulers not to confess Jesus. Several times in the New Testament, Christians are exhorted to have no fear. Christians are exhorted to have courage. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And again in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus told the church at Smyrna, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer for 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." In order to remain faithful, we must have faith in the unseen. We must have courage. And in order to remain faithful, we must have determination. Being faithful, remaining steadfast at trying to accomplish some goal is not something that anyone else can do for you. It has to come from within. It requires determination. Determination is the ability to enforce decisions we've made to accomplish our goal. And determination gives us the ability to control and restrain our impulses that would prevent us from reaching our goal. Again, all of this has to come from within. For example, knowing what awaited him in Jerusalem, Jesus' crucifixion, which would lead to his resurrection and ascension, determination was required of Jesus in order to finish his mission. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 tells us that when the days were approaching for Jesus' ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Another translation says, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up or taken up to heaven, some translations say, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. New International Version says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He resolved. He made up his mind, says another translation, to go to Jerusalem. Nobody was pressuring Jesus to go. Nobody was even encouraging Jesus to go. The determination to continue had to come from within. It always does. Two classic Bible passages that hold up determination as a quality to be emulated are from the books of Daniel and Esther. Just as Christ was facing imminent death in the passage we just considered, Daniel and Esther were also facing the possibility of death, and in all three cases, it brought about a strong determination to do the right thing. To refuse to obey the order of a king was to risk your life. And the king had ordered Daniel and his three friends to follow a certain regimen of training, including eating certain foods that were prohibited to Jews. But in Daniel 1 verse 8, we read that Daniel resolved, he determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief priests of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. In the book of Esther, Queen Esther found herself in a situation where the entire community of Jews was under threat of being purged, slaughtered. Queen Esther had to speak to the king about this, but to approach the king without having been invited was to risk your life. But in Esther 4, verse 16, Esther sends a message to Mordecai saying, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." That's determination. That's being resolved. And Paul expresses the need for determination in remaining faithful to the Lord in Galatians 6, verse 9. He says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Make up your mind. Resolve. Determine to be faithful. Do not give up. And last, in order to remain faithful, we must learn to handle or deal with only one day's burdens at a time. And I'm aware that I recently talked about this point in another lesson. Maybe you forgot. That's why nobody reacted. What's he talking about? I'm not going to repeat what I said in that lesson, but this point needs to be revisited because it is a crucial part of remaining faithful in any effort. Anytime someone becomes too concerned with their past or too concerned with the future, they will inevitably become less effective in their life today. To a great degree, success can be measured by how well someone can keep focused on the task at hand today. It's very likely that many of us would not keep going if we knew all the obstacles that we will face over our whole lifetime. If we knew what was coming ahead tomorrow or a month from now or whenever it may be. And so in Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." God taught Israel this lesson with manna. Back in Exodus 16, verses 13 through 21, I'm going to stop at verse 15, actually 13 through 15. I've got to bad reference there, I suppose. It says, "That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat.'" After having lived that way for almost 40 years, Moses reminded the next generation of people about God's purpose for having done that. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, bread from heaven, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. By feeding them this way, the Israelites had to put their trust for their very existence in God's word, in God's promise. Their trust needed to be in the God who gave the bread each day, in his promise, in his word regarding that, and not in the bread itself. Man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In order to remain steadfast, in order to continue to be faithful to the Lord, we must not become distracted by what might happen tomorrow. As James said in chapter 4, verse 14, we do not know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, we need to leave tomorrow in the Lord's hands and concern ourselves with being faithful to him and his cause today. Mark Hatfield was a very religious senator who was closely associated with the well-known evangelist Billy Graham. Mark Hatfield tells of touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting the so-called House of Dying, where sick children are cared for in their last days, and the dispensary where the poor line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Watching Mother Teresa minister to those people, feeding and nursing them, and leaving others to die by other people and being cared for by her and those with her, Hatfield is said to have been overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the suffering that she and her co-workers faced daily. Finally, he asked her, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" Mother Teresa replied, "My dear senator, I am not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful." Remember Revelation chapter 2, the letter to the church at Smyrna? Jesus didn't tell the Christians there to be successful in some kind of way. He told them to be faithful. Same thing. But that's the word that he used. To be faithful is to be successful spiritually. But he said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And that's the lesson for us.